A lesser man would have felt it was his own dreams and ambitions that struck the reef, and the shuddering blow of it was his future splintering apart rather than the beams of our ship. And I, for one, believed we were well and truly stuffed, knew it as a certainty that many of us would be dead before daybreak. But our great captain showed not a moment of doubt that he would save us, as if the strength of his determination alone would hold the ship together, even if it took 3 days of pumping and straining at the anchor ropes and casting our ballast and heavy cargo overboard, as if he had seen how it would be written, and he would, through his own strength and determination, hold us afloat to limp to shore, where our injured vessel could be hauled up onto the bank to be repaired. And there are some nights, when the moon is bright across those reefs and the strong southerly winds swirl together, my memories and my longings that I almost believe that is exactly how things played out. We saved every man jack of the crew and sailed back to England, leaving no ruins or fortifications behind us, no footsteps disappearing away into the wilds, no graves of our dead, no bones left whitening in the grass. For he didn't save us, did he? And to quote the good book, "And I alone am escaped, alone to tell thee." Perhaps if it had been a clearer night, or if the winds and seas had been calmer, if the reef had been a little lower under the choppy waves, we had not been dismasted, if our captain had not been struck by a falling spar, if his confidence in his destiny had been tempered by a little caution. Plainly, I was made of a different metal than our great captain, for I could feel it as an immutable truth that our hour of doom was upon us. That great floating world of ours, of stout beams and strong wooden pegs, bound with tarred rope and canvas, and protected by tall sides with heavy cannons. It all meant nothing when the reef effortlessly ripped our bottom out. Sharp rocks and corals splintered the wood with a jolt that ran through the whole ship and through every man on board. Each of us felt it was our own bones that were splintering, or sternums being ripped open and our hearts exposed to the sharp, slashing reef below. That's what it felt like, that moment of terror when we knew what had happened. Within a moment of striking, every man and youngster aboard was awake. Those in their hammocks lifted their heads and stared at each other. What was that? Did I dream that? Was it one of the many nightmares that haunted every sailor? There were so many ways to die far from home that could haunt you. Drowning, falling from the rigging, diseases, wild natives, heat stroke, cold, just closing your eyes one night and drifting into an endless sleep. That question on waking seemed to last so long, though. It was really just an instant between the safety of the old world and the chaos of the new. Then we heard the shouts of alarm, heard the ship's bell ring, and everyone knew for certain. Before we even tumbled from our hammocks to find the deck tilting at an unnatural angle beneath us, everything out of kilter. We were fucked. I knew it. I knew the timbers beneath us were worn and aged, worm-riddled probably. I had heard the officers talking. The ship was not even in a fit state to try and return to England via the Horn. We were headed to Batavia for a refit. Another dream now.